Chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank God for the readings. Ms. Ostrom, you did a great job. Let's give her a big hand. Always want to celebrate when our youth can get up and do that, because it's not easy standing in front of people and speaking, and she did an excellent, excellent job. I wanted to just highlight again the reading that Daniel read in your hearing. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Let's face it, I think many of us would resist change. Sometimes we get comfortable with the status quo, and change, good or bad, it throws us off of our comfort zone. And even though we may be entrenched in a negative past, sometimes it becomes our identity. We don't know how to get away from it. It's so much a part of us. We don't know who we are without it. But as long as we're weighed down with the baggage of what was, we don't have the energy to latch on to the new thing that God is trying to do. My grandmother would say, I experience you as a closed fist. She told me this one time. Nothing going in and nothing going out. I love communion because folks will walk up with their hands like this. What a beautiful posture. Ready to receive. Sometimes our past can get in the way. Maybe previously you had a soaring career, and now it's beginning to take a nosedive. Maybe some of you have been devalued and replaced by younger talent. But I would say to you, we got to move beyond the past and trust God for the new things. Maybe you had a difficult childhood. You grew up in a dysfunctional family. I believe there's some dysfunction in every family, if we're honest. Amen? Especially in my family. But we need to let the past be the past. I talked to a lady one time, and she was upset because she used to turn heads. People would blow horns, but as she began to age, she didn't like that. But we need to move beyond our past and embrace the future. Sometimes in the past, there are folks who would go from one job to the next job, doing well. Now it's hard to find a job. Trust God. Some of you have suffered illnesses, have had accidents. You don't have the strength and the energy and the ability to do the things that you used to do. You don't really talk about it. But you think or you feel that you don't have much to give. Trust God. Some of you were athletes, dancers, climbers, runners. And now your body creaks just to get out of bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Knee popping in and out. But we need to just trust God. As we've read this scripture today, I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, getting beyond the past. Getting beyond the past. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we love you so much and we thank you for this opportunity to be in worship. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we know that you've come to teach us. And now I ask that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you, that they might hear you and not me. Pray that we might be transformed by the power of your holy word. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have you ever done something and then you say to yourself, how did I get here? You look back and you go, whoa, how in the world did I get here? And I think that that's what's happening to the people of Israel. They're in Babylonian captivity and they're asking themselves, how did we get here? We were the favorite of God. How did we get here? I'm going to tell you how they got there. They got there because they failed God miserably. Every time God blessed them with good things, they returned with evil things. God gave them the temple, they gave him idol worship. God gave them the truth and they lived and proclaimed a lie. God gave them his commandments and they lived as though they were suggestions. God gave them wealth and they hoarded and used their wealth to abuse the poor. God gave them himself. And they gave him nothing except rejection. Does any of this sound familiar to our day? Does anything sound familiar? Y'all looking at me kind of strange. Maybe it doesn't. But let me get back to this portion of scripture. The Israelites are captives in Babylon. Some of the people have been taken into exile while others were just in the land, but both groups suffered debilitating effects of being a conquered people, physically, economically, culturally, religiously. They felt the might of Babylon. The prophet Isaiah needed to come and remind them that they are the people of God and that God would come and rescue them. They needed to know that God was not intimidated by Babylon. They were seen as a superpower, but God's not intimidated. How many of us know that God is not intimidated by our circumstance, no matter what it is? God can do anything but fail. There's no failure in God. Maybe you need a word this morning. Thinking about your own situation. Perhaps you're looking at your own situation and wondering why it hasn't changed, wondering why God has been silent. Maybe you have a mountain that's hard to climb in your life. Maybe you're tired of praying the same old prayers. Maybe you need to receive a word from God today. I would tell you that God can and God will. Do you receive it? God can and God will. The prophet Isaiah had to remind them of the Exodus story, that they too were caught in a real bad situation. And they were slaves and they were beaten. And they were tired. They were captives too. But God heard the cry of those people. And not only did he make a way, but he split the sea open and they were able to exit on dry land. Isaiah is saying, the same God who did that will do a new thing in your life. My friends, it's okay to look back, but it's not okay to live there. Amen? But Isaiah wanted them to look back and to remember the goodness of God, to remember the grace of God. And sometimes it's good to look back and for us to remember that God's been faithful, not just to us, but to our parents and our parents' parents. And if we go on, we can see God's track record, that God's been good. It's okay to look back, but it's not okay to live there. We don't drive our cars a total distance by looking in the rearview mirror. We have to look forward. But sometimes looking back and living there can get us in trouble. And we need to let go. Jack Kornfield says it this way, to let go is to release the images and the emotions, the grudges and the fears, the clingings and the disappointments of the past that binds us. Joseph Campbell says, we must be willing to let go of a life that we've planned so that we can have the life that's waiting for us. Jessica Hatchins says that there is an important difference between giving up and letting go. Ann Landers said, some people believe holding on and hanging in there are the signs of great strength. However, there are times when it takes much more strength to know when to let go. So the question is, how do we get beyond our past? How do we let go? Let me ask a question. When you look at the situation in your life, what do you think you need to do in order to let go? And the reason why I ask that question is many of us know what we have to do. Some of us, we might need a suggestion. But many of us know what we have to do in order to let go. I was in the Marine Corps, and I had a staff sergeant who was a friend who betrayed my trust. And I was angry about it. I wanted to fight. I wanted to tell him off. I wanted to even get physical with him. I was angry about it. And that night I went to see the chaplain. And I told the chaplain about it. And he says, Derek, you need to be spiritually healed. And I said, what do you mean spiritually healed? I was 21 years old. I had never heard that term, spiritually healed. What does that look like? He says it means that we're going to pray for you. And we're going to ask that God would come and spiritually heal you. He said, now the mind is a gift. So the mind will be able to recount what has happened. It will be able to remember the offense. But you won't feel anything. And we prayed. And I said, I forgave the guy. But when I saw him, boy, that anger moved in me again. Anybody ever lied to himself about forgiveness? I thought I forgave him, but when I saw him, I felt something. So I went back that night. I said, it didn't work. Y'all got to help me. So he said, let's pray again. So this time he laid hands on me and he prayed for me. That morning I got up and I thought about how beautiful the prayer was, and I started walking outside, and I like to take walks, and sometimes that's how I pray. And I saw that guy, and nothing moved in me. And I said, that's what it means to forgive. Gerald Lipolsky says, forgiveness means letting go of the past. The prophet Isaiah says that God is about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? How many of you need God to do something new in your life? How many of you need God to just show up? I don't know about you, but I need him to do something new in my life every day. I don't want to be the same old person. I don't want to be entrenched in the past. I want to move forward. I don't want to be a closed fist. I want to be able to receive what God has for me. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to examine yourself. What is it that you need to do in order to move on? In order to receive a new word, a new miracle, a new victory, what do you need to do? In my case, I needed to forgive. Maybe for some of you. You also need to forgive. If you walk around as a closed fist, nothing goes in, nothing comes out. But if you open your arms, then you can be ready for the new thing that God has for you. Would you join hands with the person next to you? And this is important. We never know what the person next to us is going through. But as Daniel's going to pray for us, whatever it is that you need to let go, I want you to pray. Ask God to help you with it. Ask God to show it to you. And then let it go. Forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for us. Daniel, lead us.
Let's bow our heads. Dear God, our Creator, your kindness has brought us the gift of a new morning, and we worship you. Help us to leave what was yesterday in the past, and not covet what happens tomorrow. Let us accept the uniqueness of today and this moment. Your love, celebrated in the read, preached, and sung word, and seen in the actions of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that brought us by your Holy Spirit, may you make us new. For the suffering and pain in our world is real to us. It clouds our vision and causes us anger, sadness, and pain. When we see violence from political campaigns all over the news, hurt from glaciers collapsing in Argentina, and death from gun violence all across our nation and the world, we hurt and we wonder, how long must we sit in this darkness? But your love reminds us that you're creating something new in us. This time of Lent is a time of questioning and pondering so that we might emerge new creations in Christ. It is through Christ's death and resurrection that we see the light of God's love, and we are reminded that God is our hope in the midst of our hopelessness and peace in the midst of our restlessness. Let our prayers be united this day as we pray the Lord's Prayer, found printed in your bulletin, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.